Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we do our, our last episode of the season and the last off-season episode as... When we're back in September, camps will just be like 2 days from opening, and we will have a whole lot more to go as summer's almost done. You can smell it in the air at night when it cools off just a little bit, and hockey's right around the corner.
Yeah, definitely. Wrapping up here for my job here, and got camp starting to this weekend. Preseason starts on the 5th. Getting settled in at the station. It's going pretty good. Found myself a pretty good routine. So, yeah, I'm excited for hockey season start though. Because the Blue Jays, they're not making life very fun right now.
No, they're not. I went to an inter-squad scrimmage on Saturday night. Fun to see some live hockey. So, yeah, kind of gets the blood flowing, gets you thinking a little bit. And,
the Toros gonna have a good team.
I don't know. Can you tell with an inter-squad scrimmage? I don't know.
Were they good last year?
They had their moments.
Yeah.
You know, they were...
I feel like that's every junior hockey team. There's like the turnover and changes.
Inconsistency, but...
Right.
We'll see. College football started. NFL starts this weekend, is it?
Next week, I think. The 7th.
I saw...
September 7th.
I saw a report on Twitter or something talking about arrests and... How many players have been arrested in the last decade for every team? And it's absurd.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I couldn't believe it. I started thinking about hockey players, and I'm like, it happens.
I mean...
But can you think of the last one that got arrested?
Did Evander Kane ever get arrested? I can't remember if he did or not.
I don't know that he got arrested. I think he just...
That's your favorite player. Like, you should know that information. I'm trying to think. Austin Matthews got in trouble in Arizona. I can't remember if he got arrested though.
Well, I remember Patrick Kane. He punched a cab driver.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was like 2010.
I mean, it happens. It's just, I don't know, man. I'm looking
NFL is by far the worst, though.
The Denver Broncos had 47. The Vikings had 46. The Bengals had 40. I mean, the lowest team had 20 arrests. I'm like, that's bad.
Yeah.
Jonathan Tays announced had a statement saying he wasn't going to be playing this year. What do you think? Do you think he'll ever be back? Because I don't. If you were going to play...
The fact that he didn't retire tells me that he wants to keep playing, but I don't know if his body's going to let him play.
But like, after a year off, it's even going to be harder at that age, right?
A year? Try 2 years off.
I know.
He didn't play last year either. He played, what, like part of 10 the year. Games?
Yeah. It's a sad deal.
He's going to be, what, 36?
37? Somewhere right around there, yeah.
Drafted in 2008, 2007, somewhere around there. So, yeah, he's getting up there for sure. But, I mean, if this is it for him, I mean, hats off on to a career like that. I mean, like, he's regarded as one of the best leaders in all of hockey.
Oh, for sure.
He won 3 Stanley Cups. That guy, he won 2 gold medals.
He's done it all. Champion.
World Juniors, like, you can put, I mean, he doesn't have the individual awards like Crosby, but he's a winner like Crosby. Like, he wins everywhere he goes. Like, he's that type of guy, that type of leader. He was a hell of a player growing up, for sure.
I'll always have a lot of respect for. He played the game the right way, and... Yeah, he'll always go down as one of the greatest Blackhawks. Yeah. The hockey world lost Rick Jeanneret, one of the better announcers, play-by-play guys, and his calls are infamous and will be remembered forever.
Yeah, this is he was one of the big reasons why I wanted to be a broadcaster, to be honest. I mean, like, growing up in middle school, you go on YouTube and you fire up Rick Jenneret best calls, like, or Gary Thorne best calls, or Chris Cuthbert best calls. Like, those are the kind of three guys. Jim Houston is another one for me. But yeah, like Rick, I mean, the May Day one, when Peters was fighting Ray Emery, a player was fighting the goalie, like, that's one that sticks out to me. When Chris Drury got in that whole line brawl with the Ottawa Senators, and he just went nuts. Another one was Brian Campbell hit an RJ Umberger in the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
he went nuts for that one. He
was entertaining. He was just
one of the best for sure.
He was
kind of in his own league, because Joe Bowen is another guy he does the radio for the Leafs. He gets like that too. Like, he goes nuts. And you can just tell, like, he's a passionate, he's biased, which I like, because you're the home guy, but you're on the radio, so you can't be that guy.
Yeah, but you have to be professionally biased.
He wasn't as worse biased as, like, what's his name from Boston?
Oh, you can't.
He wasn't like that. Like,
that's off the charts. That's off the charts.
But he's one of my faves for sure.
Definitely one. He's a reason I watched a lot of Buffalo Sabres games on TV. When I would flip to the channels and I could watch the Sabres feed or the opponent's feed, unless they were playing Calgary, I was watching the Sabres feed, because he was one of the good ones. Mm-hmm. Today on the show, it will be maybe a slightly quicker show than we normally do, since we're running on the end of the summer and our tank's on empty, and we're going to fire it up in a couple weeks with season 7 of the show. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But today we're going to talk about Matthews re-signing in Toronto. And then we're going to go around the league, talk about some other contracts that were signed, some contracts that have not been signed. The Yotes coach, Petri dealt again. Yeah, lots to talk about on the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, Austin Matthews inks the deal. Toronto fans can breathe easy. I never thought he wasn't going to sign in Toronto, but I don't think many people did. I'm really actually looking forward to hearing what your thoughts are on the number here. As it's 4 years, $13.25 million makes him the highest paid AAV in the National Hockey League.
Starting next year, yeah.
Starting next year, yes. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, boy, where do I even start? There's multiple ways to look at this, right? Okay, so you look at it, okay, you got Austin Matthews locked up for all of his prime years in a Leafs uniform, right? As a team, that's what you try to do, right? But what have I always been saying from day one of this podcast? What have I always said? Lock up your young players as long as possible. The fact that they gave this guy $13.5 million and he only got 4 years out of it, if I'm a fan, it's kind of a kick in the nuts, because, like,
what?
If you're Matthews, you played Toronto like a fiddle. You really did.
No, I got a completely different take on this.
He's the highest paid player for 4 years. Then he's going to be able to sign another 6-7 year deal at 30.
If he's healthy.
For his stamp, I mean, he misses, 10 games a year? I mean, it doesn't really matter. But if I'm a Leaf fan, probably want, like, at least 6 years. For that price, Blake, how many...
We both have agreed, when we don't agree often, but we did agree that the only contract I can think of that was over 6 years that we think turned out good was Ovechkin's contract.
Okay, but these are superstars, Brad. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We're not talking about a Louis Erickson 6x6. We're talking about Austin Matthews here, Brad.
Okay, but
you locked that guy up 8 years. No, there's no even arguing about that.
Okay, but here's another thing that I thought was really interesting on this one. I think if Austin Matthews would have walked into the office and said, I'm getting 15 or I'm out of here, They're right.
They would have gave him 15.
I know. So I'm confused. I'm confused on he stood strong on the 4 years. I kind of understand that. I do think that's a risk for him. If I was
apparently he wanted 3 and Toronto wanted 5, so they met in the middle at 4.
Yeah,
which is whatever. But I mean, I like this core. I really do. But like I just.
Well, if they don't win.
Like it's just going to be. I feel like this is just going to be year to year with this team. Okay, so you got Matthews for 11.6, and then his new deal kicks in next year. You got 2 more years of John Tavares at 11. You got to pay Mitch Marner in 2 years. You got to pay Nylander, who's making 6.9. He's going to want what, 11 mil?
He's already signed that.
You got Domi up after the year. You got Bertuzzi up after this year. Let's see. You got TJ Brody after this year, Klingberg after this year, Mark Giordano after this year, and both your goalies are free agents. Like, I feel like this is just a patch job of year to year piecing together a team. Like, what's the long term direction?
You got to look at this two ways, though, Blake. So if they lose this year, they're going to be happy to get rid of a lot of those contracts and reload, right?
Sure.
Because you 100%. Can't keep running up with the same guys every single year and lose and lose and lose.
But I just don't know. So your plan is to just sign players to short-term contracts and hope that you can get the most out of a three-year window? Like, where's their window at?
Well, their window's 4 years.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But, okay, what happens if Nylander goes, okay, I want 12 mil over 6 years?
They'll lose it.
Is Tree Living's reputation really going to be that he lost Nylander and Johnny Gaudreau for nothing? You really think he's going to be willing to do that?
Yeah, because you can't. Okay, Blake, there's a point in time where you can't. You're better off losing him than overpaying him.
I understand the cap's going to go up in 2-3 years. I get that.
If he gets 12 and Austin's at 13 and Tavares is at 11, you don't really have much of a team around them, do you?
You're paying. If you take out.
I mean, think about it. I mean, you don't have much room.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You take out roughly 5 players who make around 6.5 mil. You're paying 9 players on your Ford group $53 million. 9 players is over, is 60% of your cap for 9 players.
Yep.
That's absurd to me. And they have one playoff win to show for it. One round.
But you can't blame that on Tree Living.
Nothing has to do with Tree Living. This is about the players. This is the same core. It's not like Matthews, Marner, and Tavares just got there and this is their first win in a year. This core's been together. This is year 7. This is year 7 with this core, and they have one win.
So what are you saying? You wouldn't give them 13? 0.25.
Do you think Austin Matthews deserves to be the highest paid player in the league? I don't.
I don't either. But are you going to lose him or are you going to have him? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
You got to retain it, but like you got to be super, super strict with the Nylander contract because that can sink this whole team.
Well, I think if they give him a Nylander and give him
10+ mil, they might be screwed.
Well, they're going to have to give him 10 mil to keep him. The Nylander, that family is not, no, this is not going to be
Nylander
an easy deal.
Nylander is not worth anything over 8.5.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just telling you,
if he asks for 8.5,
I know how
if
they
I'm
operate.
Tree Living, I'm trading him.
Well, and they probably will have to because they can't afford to give him 12.
Like, here's the thing. What message does it send to your fan base? Nylander is a UFA after this year.
But
what message does it send to your fan base if you, we're going to trade William Nylander at the deadline and we're in go for it contender mode? But
Blake, you're contradicting yourself, though. Because a minute ago,
I'm playing devil's advocate.
But a minute ago, you just said if Tree Living lets him go for nothing, he's going to be remembered by that.
He will. 100%. So he's going to be known as, so you he's think, gonna be known as the guy that lost two star really good players for nothing.
But the Gaudreau thing had nothing to do with him.
No, it didn't.
If they would have traded him at the deadline when they were the number one team in the Western Conference, there would have been a riot in Calgary.
That's what I'm talking about right now. That's the same situation.
And they offered him more money than anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know what else do, right?
Yeah.
You can't.
No, well, it's fair. You know, it's going to be very interesting. Like on paper, this is a different team. They got a lot tougher up front. I like the additions of Bertuzzi. I like additions of Domi. I like the addition of Reeves. I don't love the 3 years, but he's a good locker room guy. You're not going to get pushed around very much. I like what they did in the offseason. You hope that a guy like Matthew Nyes can take another step. Their defense kind of scares me a little bit. Didn't love the Klingberg deal. Giordano is almost 40 years old.
Yeah, but I don't worry about him. I don't worry about him. You're not going to get anybody better at that price.
No. I'm not saying you could, but like you look at that D, it's like, ooh, we got Klingberg, Timothy Liljegren, and Connor Timmins on the right side. It's not great. I like the addition of Martin Jones as a backup because that's a proven guy that just won 30 games last year, and now it allows Joseph Woll to start every day in the AHL and not, you don't have to rush him anymore. You can give him another year of development. I like that. There's a lot to like about this team. But
there's still question marks.
The Nylander contract, that is the most important to-do list for Tree Living.
I saw an interesting stat that said most 5-on-5 goals in the last 3 seasons. Auston Matthews, 92. The next guy is 73, Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best goal scorers in the league. And there's no disagreement from there.
Listen to the other guys on this list. 70 for Pasternak, 67 for Rantanen, and 64 for Kyle Connor.
Yeah.
Of course, our favorite agent had to speak out again and with his stupidity and say, highest player in the NHL today, comparatively, is 113th highest player in the NBA, 103rd highest player in the Major League Baseball, and the 88th highest player in the NFL. And all I get to say to that is, Alan Walsh.
Dude.
It's based off revenue.
Dude, it's those leagues make way more money than the NHL. And two of those leagues don't have a salary cap. I mean, if the Oilers give McDavid 50 mil, they would give him 50 mil. You can't. There's a. I think the max you can get is 16, right?
There's a max on that now? There is. I think it's 17 right now. 17. Okay,
so much has gone up, but that's an irrelevant argument. That's so stupid.
So can you name the 10 highest paid players right now?
In order? Okay, we got McKinnon.
In 24-25, it'll be Matthews, McKinnon,
McDavid, Drew Doughty's up there.
Yep, he's up there, but he's seventh. Panarin's fourth.
Panarin. We got how much did Makar just get?
No, he's not in there. Carlson, Pasternak, Tavares, Marner, and Carey Price.
Three of the top 10 are eating up, almost 40 mil for 3 players. That's half your cap. That's great strategy. 3 players, half your cap.
35 mil, but yeah.
Oh, okay, so 45% of your cap for 3 players. That's a bold strategy.
I think it's a stupid strategy.
It's a bold strategy. Oof. Hey, they got their first playoff win in 19 years, so all hats off to them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where that takes the Leafs. I think they're a good hockey team.
Holy shit, that conversation lasts a long time. Well, we got to speed her up here.
All right, time to go around the league. We talked about it a little bit ago. Martin Jones gets 1 year, $875,000.
Yeah.
In Toronto, I think that's a really good signing. Another signing that I thought was a halfway decent signing was the Vancouver Canucks signed Pius Suter to a 2 year, $3.2 million deal.
The fact that they got him for 2 years at that price is, that's a really, really great value.
Well, it just tells you what the market is right now.
Right, for sure. But
nobody has cap space.
you look at a guy like Suter, a really good penalty killer, really good in the faceoff dot. He's been a consistent scorer for what he's got the last 4 years. He's consistently got 12 to 14 every 4 years. That was the biggest worry that I had about the Canucks roster right now, is you had Teddy Bluger slotting as your third line center. Like if a Pettersson or Miller, God forbid, went down for an injury, it's like Teddy Bluger's your second line center, really? It wouldn't have been great. But now Teddy Bluger slots in as your fourth line center. Pia Suter can play a third line shutdown role, penalty kill role. And all of a sudden, I mean, you got Pettersson, Miller, Pia Suter, and Pius Bluger down the middle. Pius? Okay, whatever. Pius, same thing. Now all of a sudden, now you got some depth.
Don't think that's a very good center core, but okay.
It's
better.
Two top centers in year 1-2, yeah. Right?
It drops off drastically.
Your fourth line center, I mean,
it's fine.
Basically just a penalty kill checking role. And then Pius Suter, if Pius Suter gets...
Pius Suter.
Same. Okay, Pius. I think it's Pius. I think it's Pius. Anyway, if that guy gets 15 goals, that's a win. Like that's a win for the Canucks. Like that guy was not playing with very good players in Detroit. He could possibly be playing with like a guy like Tanner Pearson or Connor Garland on the third line. They got some pretty good wingers he's got to work with. So it could be interesting to see. Moving on.
A contract I wanted to bring up. Brandon Hagel gets 8 years, $6.5 million with Tampa Bay. When I saw this number, I had to do a triple take. Have I missed something about this player?
I literally had to go to three locations to make sure this wasn't a spell check.
What
8 years? Geez.
He's got an amazing.
He's six and a half. He had a good year last year. Nothing against the guy. But 8 years? Brent Hagel is a bottom six forward.
Who's his agent?
He needs to give him like 50% of his revenue, I think, negotiate that contract.
It's his agent's Alan Waugh. Or Roy.
Well, I thought you said Alan Walsh.
No. I would have had to veto that out of the podcast.
Oh, you would have had to edit that out, edit his slander out.
I don't know. I'm shocked though. Like I'm literally shocked. I don't think he's a bad player, but 6'5" for 8 years? Holy mackerel. Oof. That's crazy.
He's a good player, but I don't know.
A bridge deal for Evan Bouchard, 2 years, $3.9 million. He solidifies the back end for the Oilers, and
that's their future. That's their guy. Like
they're gonna have to pay him a boatload.
Why kick this can down the road?
They have to. They don't have the cap to give him it now. You have to kick it.
They had absolutely
no choice but to kick the can.
Yeah.
They're lucky that he gave them.
The fact that they got him for 3.9 at 2 years is that's a win.
The fact that he let them do that is ridiculous.
But what does that tell you, though?
He wants to win.
They said that he wants to win, and the Oilers said, okay, in 2 years, the cap's going to go up. We're going to give you an 8-year deal, and we're going to add like a 7 to 9 AAV. He probably sees the bigger picture with this because
he does. But what happens? He loses security. I mean, I get it, but I don't.
Right. The one thing that would concern me if I'm Bouchard is like, I hate thinking this way. Is what if I get injured and I like, screw myself out of six more years than I could have got? Like, that shit always worries me. But like, I try not to think that way. But I mean, it's in the back of my mind. Unfortunately,
it happens in pro sports. One other contract I wanted to get your take on: Alexei Lafreniere gets 2 years, $4.65 million in New York.
That's total or AAV?
That's total, 2.3 okay, million.
Yeah. So 2.3, yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, that's another bridge deal. I mean, this is, he's got to prove it, man. Like, he's,
how long's he got to prove it for?
This is it, man. Like, he's a first overall pick. Like,
you told me,
he hasn't lived up to the hype. Nah, stop. Next topic. He hasn't lived up to the hype. I was wrong. I thought he was going to be a really good player and a superstar.
I believe you. I was wrong.
I did not call him a generational player. That did not come out of my mouth. I said he could be a superstar, and I was wrong. I am wrong. I admit it. I'm wrong. Next topic.
You called him generational.
I did not call him generational. Yes, you did. I even knew where your mind was going there. I read your mind. I knew you were going to paint that picture. It didn't happen.
All right, let's talk about some contracts that are not signed. And Elias Lindholm, Pettersson in Vancouver, Nylander, we just talked about him. I don't know. I don't know where we go with this.
I mean,
I don't know where
we
go.
Every Canuck fan Twitter is just blowing this shit way.
Why did you jump to the Canucks right away?
Because we might as well just get the elephant out of the room. Because I see your sheepish grin on your face.
Well, I got Lindholm doing the same thing. So.
It's like,
I mean, what's the difference?
Here's the thing. Pettersson's been here for, this will be year 7. Okay. The Canucks have not been good in any of his years other than one. Okay. So
they were supposed to be good.
If you're Elias Pettersson, if I'm Elias Pettersson, I should say, yeah, you should have some doubts on if this team can be good in the long term that you sign your contract. That is 100% valid. And it's up to the Canucks to get off to a good start this year and show them that they're turning the corner and they're going to start winning games. Otherwise, he might leave. He might pull a Matthew Tkachuk and leave. I don't know. But the ball's in the Canucks court to have a good season. You have a good season, Pettersson's going to sign an 8-year deal. It's that simple. Show that you're competitive. Show that you're a competitive team. And this is why I said lock up your superstars long term. They went 6 years with Quinn Hughes. They only went 3 years with Pettersson.
They had to. They were forced.
No, they didn't have to. They could, at the time, Pettersson was worth what he got. At the time, Pettersson was worth 7.3. He could have got that on an 8-year deal. Now, the next deal he's going to sign, it's going to start with a 10. It's going to start with a 10.
So let me ask you this. Is Lindholm in the same situation in Calgary?
Lindholm's a UFA, though. That's different. Pettersson's an RFA after this year. That's the only difference between the two. Pettersson's is more like the Tkachuk issue. Lindholm is like the Johnny Gaudreau issue that they just went through in Calgary. Yep. That's the way I look at it.
But I'm already there where if Lindholm wants over 9,
yeah,
people in Calgary are fine letting him go.
Oh yeah, like they're in a tough spot because
would you pay him more than 9?
I think 9 is the most I'd go.
And I've heard that there's reports that Calgary's already offered him 9.5.
I wouldn't go anywhere over 9. Like, could he be your next captain? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
He might. I mean, but I don't.
But if he signs an 8-year deal, he's the face of that franchise till the end of the deal, right?
Well,
he's the
Huberto
new
is the face of the franchise. I mean,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, I forgot you got Huberto. But that's it. They're in a tough spot. Like, that's interesting because, like I said, Calgary's in a playoff push. What, are you just going to trade Lindholm at the deadline? No. Then you're going to be in Johnny Gaudreau 2.0 again.
Yeah, no, this ain't no Gaudreau.
We gonna sign this guy or are we going to let him go for nothing? Like, I don't know, man.
No, I think they trade him, whether they're in a playoff thing or not.
Yeah, that would be fascinating to see if that actually happened.
It would be fascinating. It would, yeah. Oh,
it's tough to think about if I'm a fan. It's an interesting complexion that they're in.
Yeah. So I got a question for you. I see a report right after we got done with our last show that Coyotes owner Alex Murillo has put in a letter of intent to purchase 41 acres in Mesa, Arizona. And now that has been completely silent. I haven't heard a word about that. I also saw that the Arizona Coyotes have re-signed their head coach.
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a guy that's going to coach a team through rebuild. That's what he is. They got some good young players on that team. They do.
They
got some really good young players.
And they
just got a Cooley to come out of college. He's going to be probably a contender to win Rookie of the Year this year. They got that other young kid. What's his name? Starts the M. I'm blanking.
I don't know, but they signed some players in the offseason?
They had a good offseason.
They had a really good offseason.
I'm like, wow, this team is spending money? Like, what is happening?
So do they finish ahead of the Canucks this year?
Oh, my God, stop it. Just stop it. I'm not entertaining that nonsense. So this year they brought in Jason Zucker on a one-year deal. They signed Alex Kerfoot on a two-year deal. They brought back Nick Bjugstad. They're bringing in Logan Cooley as a ELC. They signed Matt Dumba. They traded for Sean Dursey. They re-signed Troy Stetcher. They had a good offseason. I'm not saying they're making playoffs, but they're not going to be the laughingstock of the league. Like they're going to be competitive. They're not that competitive, but like they're going to win games.
They're fine. They're going
to
be
fine. Trying to think of like, oh, I'm thinking of this Matias Massili guy. Massili guy?
He played there last
year.
That's
the guy I was thinking about. Yeah. That's the young player.
Massili.
Massili, yeah.
Remember the show Who's the Boss? Did you know that show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Moving on. Detroit receives Jeff Petrie from Montreal. Everybody in the world knew, hockey world knew that was going to happen. Is Detroit going to get over the hump this year?
My earbud came out. All I heard is Petrie got traded. My bad. But
does Detroit get over the hump?
Detroit gets a guy who can play on the second unit power play behind Moritz Seider. I think he's still a 4 or 5 D, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I think he's a solid guy, right-handed guy. He's been in the league for a while. He can mentor a guy like Seider, take him under his wing a little bit as Seider grows into the pro. But, I mean, they get a fourth-round pick for him?
Yes, a conditional fourth-round pick. Lindstrom, Gustav Lindstrom.
Right. I mean, yeah, if you're Montreal, I mean, you get him in a trade and then you flip them for a fourth round pick and a young prospect. So
yeah, and we all knew that was going to happen. So all right,
yeah.
Time to roll on into three questions.
It's time for three questions.
All right, it is Blake's turn this week to ask me three questions. And, who knows what I'm getting this week. Fire away.
Will Max Pacioretty play in the NHL again? Doc, can you let me finish the question, man? Jesus.
No.
You said no?
No, absolutely not.
That's tough. It's a hard reality. Good player. What team had the best NHL offseason?
Arizona Coyotes.
No, other team. We just talked about that.
You know, we do this every year, and rarely are we correct when we say who we think had the best offseason, because sometimes what we add on paper or lose on paper doesn't really work out in reality. I think, gosh, I don't even, I'm not even sure who I would even say had the best. I know they didn't make any bold moves, but they solidified some things. I love Carolina heading into this season. Toronto, actually.
Toronto did good.
Brought in some pretty strong pieces. I don't know how you go wrong with guys like Bertuzzi.
Domi.
I'm not a huge Domi fan, but guys like Bertuzzi. Those are the two that stand out to me, I guess. And honestly, I know I was being sarcastic with saying Arizona. But,
no,
but,
seriously.
But I don't mean that sarcastically. I think they had some pretty strong...
I was actually really happy to see him sign players.
Yeah,
because usually they just take on retired bullshit contracts.
Well, and that, and I'm starting to think, you know, like, who really wants to go play there, you know?
Well, I mean, the fact that they got Cooley to forego a sophomore year at university to go play there, that's got to be kind of encouraging for your fan base, no?
Yeah, I would think, yeah, I would say so, yes. All 2,400 of them.
Yeah. Okay. What is your favorite memory in hockey / NHL?
NHL?
Yeah. What was that noise?
What the heck? I did not hear a noise. NHL favorite memory. I would say...
Or maybe a memory like that you, as a fan, or a memory that you've been to live?
That I've been to live... I went to a Hockey Night in Canada in Edmonton, Calgary, Edmonton, and it was off the charts. Good game. I think a memory not NHL was the 2005 World Juniors in Grand Forks with Ovechkin, Crosby. Mm-hmm. All those things, that was top-notch. And watching on TV when my Flames won the Cup in 89 was a pretty special memory, although... I was a 10th grader in high school, and when you're 10th grade, you're naive, and you think that's going to happen all the time, and I'm 50 years old now, and I'm still waiting. So,
right.
You know, you look at things a little different perspective when you hit 50. That's probably where I stand.
That's pretty good. Other than me meeting Luongo, one of my favorite memories was... It wasn't a good memory as a Canucks fan either. Like, this is...
Let me guess. 2011.
No. That's not what I'm not. This is 2000... Okay. What year was this? 2010. This is 2010. Okay. John Tavares is a rookie 19-year-old, okay? This guy had a six-point game. Six-point game. He had four goals, okay? Just torched the Canucks. Just torched them. So I'm just pissed. I go down. We got passes to go downstairs, right? I don't know if I've told the story on the pod. We got passes to go downstairs and meet the players, right? Guess who I meet after the game? John Tavares. Just the coolest guy to meet.
He is a really nice guy.
Just a 19-year-old kid. It's like, hey, like, saw the Canucks jersey on. Hey, you want an autograph? You want a picture? Like, that's... I've always been a huge Tavares fan because I met him when he was 19 years old, and I've just loved him ever since.
So. I've visited with him twice at the NHL Awards show, and he is a really, yeah. really, really, like really he's nice guy.
Really, really cool dude.
Really cool dude. All right.
He's overpaid, but he's a good player.
Well, that's not his fault, is it?
No.
Listener question every week. We usually do a listener question. This week, we do not have a listener question.
He's more than a fifth grader question.
No, I got something different for you. I'm going to say... something, and you need to say what comes to mind, the first thing that comes to mind.
You're gonna
I'm gonna name anything.
Okay.
I'm gonna name 10 hockey items.
Okay.
And you need to tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And then we're gonna go. Okay. Number one, Ottawa Senators.
Danny Heatley.
Fair enough. Salary cap.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
World Championships.
Boring.
LTIR.
Oh, Tampa Bay, Vegas. I mean, could go either way there.
Corruption, maybe, with a better word.
Yeah. Cheating.
E-bug goalie.
David Foster from Chicago.
Don Cherry.
Beauty. That was his favorite word, beauty.
Wood sticks.
Classic. Classic.
Hockey cards.
Nostalgic.
You can answer with more than one word.
Like, nostalgic. I don't know. Nostalgic.
My childhood. How's that sound?
Childhood. I mean, I remember going to McDonald's growing up and like, hey, you know, you get the hockey cards.
Remember the masks? Remember the masks?
Yeah.
I have all those.
Where you flip them up and there's on the puck?
No. Remember the masks? They had...
Yeah, and the mask. And then under the mask was the goalie.
No. Before that.
Oh.
They had like probably in 94, 95.
Okay, well, I wasn't born in 98, man.
They had like masks that were like 4 or 5 inches tall. And they were like Patrick Waugh, Eddie Belfour, Jocelyn Thibault. Trying to think of all the other goalies that they had.
Like for me,
you'd get them at McDonald's in Canada.
Yeah.
And I had the whole set. I still got them in my garage.
So, growing up for me, they had these little helmets and you flip the helmets up and the goalie was underneath. Then they had these little things that you opened and it came with the goalie's name and a picture on the left and then the goalie's stick on the right. And it was called like NHL mini stick, whatever. I'll send you the commercial. You're going to laugh at the commercial I sent you. You've probably seen it. But then like Tim Hortons sells hockey cards now.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Hortons.
I get them.
Tim Hortons does. But yeah, that's any other.
Yeah, I got two more things. 3-on-3 overtime.
Oh, exciting. I mean, exciting.
No,
exciting.
Completely ruined depends. By the coaches.
It depends. Exciting. When it first started, it was the best thing NHL's ever done. Now it's just puck possession, try to get 2-on-1s.
Yeah, they wrecked it. Stanley Cup playoffs.
Nothing better. Best thing ever. Yeah, best thing on the planet.
I agree.
No. The only playoffs that is even close to the NHL's level is Major League Baseball. It's not even close.
It's not
the only thing because there's the NBA, whatever. It's exciting when you get to the third round in the finals. It's exciting. Football's one game eliminations. Like
Boy, they've been good the last few years. Oof.
Oh yeah, NFL playoffs, but on the last 2 years, like that Bills Chiefs game, boy. Off the charts.
They have been off the charts.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But nothing compares to Lord Stanley's playoffs.
No.
That is it for season 6 of the Debate Hockey Podcast. Blake and I will be back September 18th. It's a Monday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, season 7. I cannot believe we are to 7 seasons already.
That's a long time. That's a long time for me to be putting up with your ass.
Oh, my God. Blake and I would like to thank all the faithful listeners and, of course, all the new listeners, too. We love doing this show. We're happy to do it. We're looking forward to continuing next season. We're excited for that. Enjoy the remainder of the summer, and make sure you join us for Season 7, September 18th. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.